Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is moving unlimitedly by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is moving without restriction by the Holy Spirit. He loves his people. And I bless his people. You know, I thank God for authority. We can speak words and God will honor it. He said, whatever you bind on heaven, you know, on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And I loose the blessings of God on everybody that want to hear, that have ears to hear, everybody that will hear Jesus and those he sends, God will bless. Every soul who will hear, every soul who will hear and believe and receive what Jesus and all of his servants speak. I pray, Lord, that you will mightily move throughout their life, cause them to hear those words, that they may boldly come to Jesus. And everybody that can hear my voice and hear the things God gives through me, he told me when he first called me to the ministry, he said, behold, you are my child. I've chosen you, and you shall be a vessel of honor. And so a vessel is something you pour something in so you can pour it out on what you want to pour it out on. So, Lord, I pray that you will mightily use me like a tool in your hand and take the words that you speak through me and bless everybody that has ears to hear. I only pray for those who follow you, those who love you with the intent to do your will. I pray for them according to your perfect instruction. And, Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you that you're unlimited. You're not restricted. And be not restricted in the life of those you want to reach. Not only bless them to hear the words, but bless them to get the device so that they can hear the word. Bless them to get the signal and everything. And angels, go about doing good. Go about helping them get the signal they need from the internet and devices. And bless them to get this wherever you want it to go, my Lord. Wherever you need it to be. And Satan can't stop it at all. Lord, I thank you for giving us authority to be a blessing to people. You said what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is loose in heaven. I restrict Satan and I loose the angels. And I loose the power of God on everybody that want to hear it. Now, the Lord gave me an interesting message. It's almost a sequel to what he had me to give yesterday. And I thank God for this these messages that he gives us. And God don't want to be restricted. He don't want to be limited when it comes to the lives of his people. Now, I talk a lot about how he called me and then how he gave me these assignments. And if you follow God, you're just going to have to trust him. He told me in the very beginning that my ministry, trust would be a very important part of it. He tested me and I trusted him and he told me I won. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, you trusted me beyond your ability to understand. And he let me know that was going to be a requirement. If it's a requirement in my ministry, it's a requirement in everybody's ministry. If you trust God, you'll go further. Sometimes you can get good instructions and you can be faithful and that will work. But see, trust takes you beyond the stretch. It takes you beyond your limitations. The limitations of your mind, the limitations of your body, the limitations of your expectations. Trust will take you far beyond that. Now, we was talking about glory and how to enter greater glories, and also the will to enter greater glories. And I want to show you something that the Lord put on my heart today. First, I had another scripture to go to, but first we'll go to Genesis. Because everything that God told Adam to do, he does it also. And this is very important because the work of God is holy. You can't forget that. God said, let there be light. He didn't say, let there be a mixture of light and darkness. He said, let there be light. And light was. And it expelled the darkness. In all of creation, it expelled the darkness. You can see that light from as far away as God wanted it to be seen. And I believe that all of his creation could see the light when God was restoring the earth. See, if you go back to Genesis, you get the heart of God's will in the first place. He was correcting a problem. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. All right. Now, this is why I went to Genesis. We're going to skip on down. See, God made a distinction between light and darkness. And he did it with words. When we first met him, he said, "Let there be light." The Holy Spirit moved on the waters. God got organized about what he was going to do. He had a plan. He said, "Let there be light." And we know the whole, you know, when you study what Jesus did, what the Lord did in those days, everything he did that week. Now that was a week to every 24-hour day was a day to us. But it represents the covenant week. A covenant week is 1,000-year days. I'm going to say that again. The covenant week is 1,000-year days. In other words, Adam didn't live past Monday. He didn't live to be 930 years. He didn't live 1,000 years. If he had lived 1,000 years and 1 hour, he would have died on Tuesday of the covenant week. Well, Jesus came and died for us on Wednesday of the covenant week. And he rose again on Sunday of the natural week. Okay? He didn't rise again on the covenant week because that hadn't happened yet. But he rose again the week that he died, in the 24-hour period week that he died, with the days being 24 hours. He died on a Wednesday, almost Thursday. He spent all day Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in the lower parts of the earth, in the lowest part of hell. And then he rose on Sunday, first watch. So he spent 3 days and three nights in the midst of the earth. So that and see, when he rose, all hell was defeated. And see, after the millennial reign, that's a Saturday. That the 1,000-year reign of Christ is a Saturday. That's the last day of the covenant week. And when Satan is, he's going to be loosed a little season, attempt what he can, and then all evil will be contained in hell. In the beginning, the day after that Sabbath, there's no more evil. So, everything that God does is representative of what he's going to do in Genesis 1. Now, keeping that in mind, let's look at what God told Adam. He said, here in verse 26, chapter 28. Let's look at the start of verse 26. He said, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So the woman is created also in his image because she came out of man. Verse 28 says, now watch very closely. You got to watch what God, the wording of God's word. That's why when he give me a word, I write it down. And I try to quote it back precisely like he gave it, because there's so much meaning in the way he words things. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Now, the key word to what I want to reference is the word subdue. Now, let's go. I'm going to start at multiply. He said multiply. So, that was a time. God gave me some definitions of words. The first word he gave me a definition of was virtue. Because when I looked it up, virtue went out of him. I looked it up in the Webster Dictionary. Virtue meant honest living, you know, stuff, things like that. One word was power. But I wasn't satisfied. I looked it up in Hebrew. It was about the same thing, but that didn't satisfy me. Looked it up in Greek. Still wasn't satisfied. I said, "Lord, what's your definition of virtue?" Because when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, virtue went out of him. 2 Peter chapter 2 says, or chapter 1 says, add to your faith virtue. I said, what is this word virtue? In both places, it's the same thing. And the Lord answered me. He said, "It's the amount of my word in your heart." Ooh. That made sense. That hit the spot. I was satisfied spiritually. So in those days, that was the first definition I remember that God gave me. And he gave me a few others. And then in latter years, he gave me many. I wrote on the Living Lessons page of this website, newlivingletters.com, there's a writing called Definitions. Very important. And they were Holy Ghost definitions. So, and here's, I'm going to give you what he gave me. I said, "What is your definition of being to be fruitful?" He said, "To be fruitful is to increase greatly." Now, put yourself in Adam's position. God told him to be fruitful. This is something he can look at. He can get a peach off the tree, eat it. It's sweet. And it's got a seed. What's this thing? Then the Lord told him that's a seed. You plant it and it becomes a tree. So he had a reference for what fruitfulness is. The Lord told him to be fruitful. He understood what being fruitful is. So he wants us to be fruitful in all of our ways, not just having children. People have limited these things to having children. He said, be fruitful. Multiply. Just like we have children. If you and your spouse have two children, you've multiplied. You know, you have yourself, and then you have another one in your image, and you can continue the process. But I said, Lord, what's your definition of multiplying? He said, to increase greatly. Without sin, this is our capability. We can be fruitful and multiply at our will. And by the new birth, we can still be fruitful and multiply because why? We were made sinless. We have a new spirit. He washed away our sins, and we don't have to walk in sin anymore. And then he said, and replenish the earth, which means refill the earth, which is also a clue that the earth was once populated. And he was taught, these do apply to having children and offspring and generations, but it also means this applies for everything in life. Now watch this next one. He said, okay, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Now this is the one I wanted to get to, subdue it. So God subdues everything. Everything he does, he has a way to bring it back to balance. And then the last thing he said, and have dominion. Okay. So God, all these things that God said for Adam to do is what God does with the whole universe. Now, keep that in mind. God subdues what he does. So the Lord makes something very clear to me this morning. And that's why I was so excited to do this broadcast. Now, everybody that's been listening to these broadcasts, you know that God told me he gave me the assignment to alert people to follow him. All right, and I told you how people respond like people would do. Some people might say, well, he's just got it in for pastors that don't follow God. That's totally not it. I was very disappointed, sometimes devastated, because I saw the visions and I heard what God said would happen if these wonderful men of God were to follow him versus doing things traditionally. And now I want to point out this. They were not sinners. They were not dishonorable people. But the Lord was trying to introduce them to a glory that they did not go into. He was trying to introduce them to more. And it would have been, they would have had to be, God would have had to train them. That you can't enter into the next glory just because you want to. First, that's a very important part. First, you got to want to. Sometimes people don't want to because they don't want the extra responsibility. They don't know what to expect. They can't control it. They don't know how to control it. They don't know how to process. People can be very apprehensive when God tells them to go somewhere they've never been and start a ministry. But if you accept it, you have a peace. You always, if you follow the peace, you're going to learn who God is in your life. If you don't follow the peace, you're not going to learn. There are things you just cannot learn unless you enter into the next glory. So somebody will say, well, what is the next glory? We talked about that yesterday. It can, for a man that's not saved, salvation or healing is the next glory. Some people get healed before they get saved. You experience healing, you experienced a glory of God. You receive salvation. You receive one of the most important glories of God for yourself in your best interest. When you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, you get introduced to the power of God. That's a new glory. When you start a relationship with the Lord and you go about laying hands on people and healing the sick and they recover, you've entered the glory. When you walk in authority, to you, that was a new glory. When I learned about authority and began to walk in it. And to my surprise, it worked. I believed it would work, and it did. So when the Lord guides you and gives you specific things to do, and you don't know how it's going to work, and you do it and it does work. And you see, you put things in motion and it begins to work. That you've entered into a glory. And it don't always happen real quick or very promptly. Now, but the part that the Lord showed me today was when people don't, when they do like the rich young ruler and walk away sorrowful, that's because he didn't enter into the glory a new glory that would have been new to him. Jesus said, take all your possessions, sell them, and give to the poor, and come and follow me. If he had done that, he would have learned something. He would have saw God move. But in his mind, it was a blockade. I can't do that. I love my possessions too much, more than I do following Jesus. So he walked away sorrowful. Well, people say, that's terrible. Yes, it is. But to him, that's how it was. And when people don't follow God, they're doing the very same thing. And even if they live in God's acceptable or good will, you know, there's a perfect, acceptable, and good will of God. So a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So when you live, if you proceed to the perfect will of God, you're going to learn more. If you just satisfy with the good will of God, like being saved, and that's it, you're going to be happy you got saved. And you're going to be sad because you didn't help others get saved. But if you live the acceptable will of God, okay, now you're doing something God said do, but not everything. Well, you're not going to learn as much. But if you live the perfect will of God, all the things that the enemy tried to fear you out of it, he tried to get you in fear against it, that's where you're going to live. But if you proceed, you're going to see how easy it really is to live in covenant with God and be covenant appropriate. To not go forward is, it's not a sin, but it's not covenant appropriate. To back out is not covenant appropriate. I said yesterday, when people don't enter the new glory and the things that they will learn, they're not worthy of it because it takes purity. This is what the Lord showed me today. I said all that to say this. Only people that's pure in the heart will see God. Jesus said it right here. This is Matthew 5. Look at the spirit of the word. Let's start at verse 1. He said, blessed are the pure in spirit, the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. These are people who know I'm messed up and I need help and I want help. They know they're poor in spirit. A proud man, though he's poor in spirit, he won't say nothing like he act like he all right. And his life is all tore up from the floor. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. They're sad about the sinful things that they desire, and they want something done about it. They're mourning. They're going to be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There are people right now with nuclear codes, and they love the earth, and they have war machines, but they're meek. They have power, but they control it. Now, and there are people that are mighty in the Lord, and they don't hurt people that's less powerful than them. They will inherit the earth. They lay down their life for their brothers. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are the ones that will be filled. They're going to learn when others can't. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now watch this, just the one we get into. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Which also means the opposite of any, all these scriptures are also true. He's saying that those who are pure in heart, they will see God. When the Lord tells them to do something, they'll perceive it. When you walk in 1 Corinthians 13, love believes all things. Love doesn't wrestle with God. It's on it. When the God show them something, they can't wait to be a blessing. They're like Noah's dove. See, the raven went out to find the land, but he was half-hearted. He didn't find nothing. Now, let me say it correctly. He didn't find anything. But the dove went out, and there was no land to be found. And she came back ready to go again. Noah had to bring her back and wait a week. And he released her. She came back with a fig leaf. And he let her go back, and she never came back because she stayed on the land. She didn't want to go back to that old dark ark. Thank God for the ark, but I want to be free. A bird want to be free. That old raven didn't find anything, but the dove did. Why? Because when you love God, you see things through. You don't care what you got to deal with. You don't care how tired you are. You can't wait to serve God. And see, God subdued everything. He sent an unknown mechanic that happens to be an apostle with this message to bless others. And anybody that would have listened, they would have gotten blessed. There's one preacher that I gave a word to. He did something way over the top. And I thank God for that. He obeyed God and it went over the top good. He paid for a church. He paid $15 million for his church. And he paid it cash without a loan. Anyway, when you obey God, that's what things can happen. When you live in that bubble of obedience, when you see it through, when you can't wait to serve God. See, guys, if you're pure in heart, you're going to be attracted to the good things of God. And the Lord gave me these, he showed me visions and he showed me what would happen if they followed. It was beautiful stuff. And it's in writing. They still got the writings. I didn't type in those days. I wrote it neat as I could and gave it to them. But most of them, they did more of what they thought should be done. They didn't really follow God. They did more of what they thought he wanted. But that wasn't what God was talking about. The Lord wanted them to give him all of their attention and do everything precisely according to the protocols that he was going to give them. And this is not something that I could share with people because I'm not the Holy Spirit. My job was to share with them the need to follow God. If you do follow God, this is what will happen. If you don't follow God, this is what will happen. And it was much worse. And so I wanted them to follow God. And I figured that because they taught faith and because they believed God, they were honorable people. They had healing ministries. They were doing great things already. I felt like I was wasting my time giving them the message in the first place because they had already impressed me, but not God. God was going to take them to a greater glory. They had been faithful. They were on it. They started churches. They were blessed. God gave one of them a church. They didn't even have to pay church bills and a house to go with it. God was moving, but they got to a point. Now they're going to have to follow God to go further. And I didn't want them to fail. And I got frustrated because I got upset because I didn't want them to fail. And the one that did go forward and proceed, after dealing with so many people that wouldn't go forward, I didn't even want to talk to him. The first week the Lord gave me a message to him, I went home. I didn't want to meet any more pastors. I was frustrated because I didn't like knowing about what would happen if they follow God versus not, and then they don't. And so I went home and I repented. I said, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. And I repented. I told you I'd obey you, and I didn't today. And I asked him to forgive me, and I asked him to forgive me quickly. I said, I'm going back. So I went. He let me go back. I gave him the word, and everything was over. And then after I obeyed God, I saw what God was going to do. And I understood God's purpose in that word. It was a simple word. All I had to do was tell him, you hadn't seen the half. And after that, his ministry just went over the top good. So God will bless his people. And anybody that observe his words, they're going to be blessed by it. You live in that bubble of obedience, you're going to learn things you can't learn any other way. But you have to be pure in heart to go to the next glory, because God did subdue it. This is why. If a person has fears in their heart, then their heart is not pure. There's an imperfection in it. If they have traditional doctrine is impure, and it will cause you have to have courage to break through the confines of that religious order. That's denominationalism and any kind of organization bylaws that conflict with the progressions of God's word. Those things limit everybody who is in an organization. They're limited by rules and bylaws. It's better for men and women of God to be free to live in the balance of the Holy Spirit. You will never be in sin. The Holy Spirit will not guide you into sin. He will not guide you into a lie. He will only guide you to truth. And sometimes the truth that God introduced you to, just like he did me, I couldn't see these problems because I didn't see the problems as problems. So what the Lord had to do, he had to train me so that I could. He showed me things that was a problem. And it was, and the people that were doing these problems, sometimes it was denominational doctrine, sometimes it was Pentecostal doctrine, and sometimes it was fear, sometimes it was unbelief, sometimes it was a lack of knowledge. Different things cause people not to go in that glory. Sometimes it could have been greed. It could have been pride. That's a terrible. Anybody in pride, they cannot go in the new glories of God until it's dealt with. And the only way to deal with it is to totally obey the Holy Spirit and fully cooperate with Him. And then you can, your heart will be pure. This is why it's so important. It's the rule of Genesis chapter 1. Everything bears fruit after its type. If a man of God don't clear some things up, God can't trust him or her to do a greater work. Why? Because the impurities is infectious, and it will get on the people, and the people will see it as true. Just like I didn't see the problems to the Lord pointing them out. And all of these problems, problems don't just stay small, they grow. In the Pentecostal church, women couldn't wear pants, they couldn't wear jewelry, makeup, they couldn't go, nobody could go to, in some denominations of Pentecostal churches, you couldn't play sports, couldn't go to movies, couldn't go to dances, you couldn't go to swim. They frowned on mixed bathing. Well, that's for the Holy Spirit to deal with. That shouldn't be a church doctrine. And I know the point, they don't want people to fall in sin. When you do something out of fear, it goes south. There are churches that have swimming facilities, and there's no trouble. I mean, you don't have to go and swim in panties, but you they have, that's just common sense. Put a one piece on. And you know, but when you restrict people, and you know, if you don't be with God, with Jesus, you work against Him. If you don't be with Him, you work against what He's doing. But that's not all. See, those things cause a lot of problems for people. And I know what I'm talking. I listen to people more than I talk. Now, I put my head, when I used to be in school, I would put my head on my desk and just listen. I wanted to understand how people thought, especially girls. And they would talk about how they couldn't wear dresses. They would talk about, some girls would talk about the girls that had to wear dresses all the time. And I heard that conversation. Some of the girls that had to wear dresses, I felt their pain. They had to do this. And they felt like a spectacle. And they, you know, that's what they had to deal with. So whenever they get out of school, some of them would join the army and just leave town and not come back. And that should, see, those things cause problems for so many people. And when they get old enough, they move out and they don't go back to church. And some people agree with it and they produce it on their children. So some things don't have to be. And it causes problems that people don't normally see. I didn't see it. I saw part of it growing up. I saw how it set a division. But see, if people were focused on the Holy Spirit and the love of God, they would have been winning souls instead of being somebody's spectacle. Then you got denominational restrictions, the move of the Holy Spirit. They say, well, we don't go there. We don't believe that. We that was done away with the apostles. Okay, so was healing. So now you got more funerals to do because the people that should have been being healed are being buried. And the Lord can't come in and build on top of that. Not what He's doing now. Not what He has, this new move of God, this new awakening. He can't put that on top of junk. He has to use pure people. So this is why He waited till he got people that would obey Him. Because some people went through the ranks. They got hurt by these things. But they love God. And now God is bringing them back to balance. And they'll stay in balance. They'll live according to the wisdom of God, the love of God, and the holiness of God with sincerity. Consider these things. Because those that are pure in the heart, they shall see God. And all these things, just like in Hebrews 8 and 5, 1 Corinthians 10, 11. These things were done for our admonition. And he helped me to see these things so that I could admonish, I could point it out and show it to those that will have that will hear. The Lord did this, we'll end with this one, 1 Corinthians 10, 11. I'm going to do this one in fast mode so it'll fit. Because sometimes my voice may sound a little bit faster. I record it in fast mode. So I would rather get it on one broadcast than two. Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. He said, let's see, I'm going to start it. Verse 7, he said, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now watch verse 11. Now these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, this is very important. And just like the people of the Old Testament that went rogue, the Lord let us have a reference of it so that it will admonish us not to do the same thing. All right, now I said that because all the preachers that didn't see the problem, they didn't see it. They honestly didn't. To those that want to follow God purely, I'm bringing this up by the instruction of the Holy Ghost. Follow God, because this was done for your, so you can be admonished and won't copy the failure that so many wonderful men and women of God regret to this day. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will return soon, imminently. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.